Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
It's good to have my nephew Devin here with us this evening. Made some big decisions for a young man, 15 years old. Talked to his mother. He said, I want to go to North Carolina, looking for change in his life. Isn't it wonderful that a man doesn't have to wait until he gets beat up and beat down and busted up and banged around and different things and hard-headed and wait until his world falls apart and seeks after the Lord? Thing is, I appreciate that, and I believe that God's going to honor his faith. You know, I've made a move likewise. I wasn't 15 years old. I was about 32 years old, and the Lord moved me from California to Georgia. And he honored that move. He honored my faith. I said, you know, Lord, I need more of you. I wasn't content. I said, I know there's more of you than what I've seen. I was traveling, preaching the gospel, but I was amongst people, and I was trying to draw and feed from them and learn. And I wasn't satisfied. I wasn't getting the things that the Lord was putting in my spirit, and I wasn't getting questions answered that I was asking. I never asked Brother Pike a question that wasn't answered, and I didn't always understand the answer, and sometimes the answer was many times over my head, but the thing is he put it in my spirit, and there are still questions that are coming alive to me and being answered even to this day, brethren, of things that we spoke about, and I did understand it in a measure, and I did understand it in part. As I shared with you, the little brother made a call, and he said, Uncle Rob, he said, I want Jesus in my heart. He said, I want to know that he's there. Isn't that an awesome thing? I tell you, that sounds simple, and it truly is. God will meet him with that kind of a simplistic faith. Meet him in such a way as that. And I can't think of anything more precious. And that may not sound like the kind of terminology we like to use, but I can't think of another word to describe how beautiful it is. Just as the little brother, 8 years old, came in the altars, and I said, I don't want to die and go to hell. He said, I want the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, I can't think of anything greater than that. And the thing is sometimes there's complications that happen in homes and families and stuff. And you say, you know what? This is the trail I'm walking on. The Bible said all men's hearts are fashioned alike. And all men are on a death march to hell. All men are on this wide, broad path of destruction, walking to a place of eternal damnation. That's the only hope that mankind has got. Amen. But we come to a hope in Jesus Christ. By coming one with him and being bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, being born again. Amen. Then we're a new creature. You say a new creature. What is a new creature in Christ, Brother Rob? A new creature is when that you have laid your life down and surrendered it unto the Lord. And he's met you and granted you spirit of life. And when that spirit of life comes and indwells within you, that spirit life changes you. Your innermost part, your innermost being. And when that transformation goes through that change, that inner part, amen, or that birthing of being born again and born into the kingdom of God, then you're eternal and have eternal life. It doesn't mean that it's not a travail and a fight nor a warfare. You got to learn to fight the good fight of faith. The Bible in the New Testament refers to us as the sons of God, and it refers to us as soldiers for Christ. It said that the soldiers for Christ don't entangle themselves with the affairs of this world. So we find that sometimes young people or even people that get up in a little bit of age, they say, you know what, I need the Lord, I need God. And then they don't understand, why is the preacher, you know, trying to get me to do this and do that and change my life and do this and that? Is it by these actions that I do? It's by faith that we're born again and birthed into the kingdom of God, but these actions hinder our faith. You see, faith is a thing that we have to learn. The Bible said we commit our works under the Lord and our thoughts are established. And you say, well, what does that have to do with faith? Well, the thing is, the Bible also teaches us that works perfect the faith. So the works is by an establishment by the Bible teaching at the fivefold ministry, teaching that the pastors are sent to perfect the saints of God, the young people of God, the children of God, to perfect them. And you say, well, I believe that the Bible also teaches that Jesus perfected us once and for all by his works. And I say, I do teach that. But we have to learn to start understanding things. And there are some things that would be very simple to some of you that have been indoctrinated and taught. As I was sharing with Brother Devin here earlier, I said, you know, if you came to me and you said, Uncle Rob, I want you to teach me to fly. I said, I'm going to be teaching you and talking to you about things that pilots understand, but it might take you a little while. It might take hearing it more than one time to start perceiving and understanding that. And I'm thankful that the Lord works with us and teaches us and directs us. As this young brother, if he was been off in the ministry, working in the ministry or working even under other churches or learning the things of the gospel, he's stepped into a very strong message here. It's the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a new message. But the thing is in the day that we live in, there's a compromise of the Word of God. And they're taking and watering the Word of God down, and they're accepting any kind of lifestyle. And they think that anybody could have God and make it into heaven. They take when the whores die, the drunkards die, the whoremongers, the adulterers, the fornicators, and all of them, they die. People get together and they say, oh, they're in a better place. No, the Bible said that the drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God, nor the harlots. Or these people in these conditions will not inherit the kingdom of God. We got to stay and believe the Bible. If we can't believe what the Bible says, brothers and sisters, then we're wasting our time. You know, we have to have an absolute in life. The absolute has to be the Word of God. If we can't put that as an absolute, we're wasting our time. But let me tell you something. There's many things that I, as a man, have looked into over the years. Sometimes you might dabble in the political realms, and you might try to make an analyzation of it, try to understand it. You might have made some dabbling around maybe in these different groups of people or segments of things like that, and you could challenge and check a lot of things out. And sometimes as you look and dig and study, you find that things aren't what they seem to be, or they're not what they were presented to be, or you find out that there's really nothing to it. But let me tell you about this Bible and the Word of God. As I've dug around and looked and studied and tried to comprehend and look at it, I found this thing to be infallible. I found this thing to be accurate. I found this thing to be true. I found that God's Word has never misrepresented nor lied to me, or never said something that couldn't be vindicated by His Spirit or by His Word. Amen. So it is hid from some. There's many people that will never see. It's blinded. They're blinded. Their eyes are blinded, the Bible says, and their ears. As you know, when the Lord Jesus was talking to people and speaking to people, He said, though you have eyes, you do not see. They were sitting there looking at Him. They were looking at Him, and He said, you don't have eyes to see, nor do you have ears. They were hearing Him. They heard exactly what He said, and they didn't perceive, nor did they understand. They didn't understand Him, what He was saying, but He was speaking about eyesight to see into another realm, another dimension. As I could take you to places in the Bible that talks about the invisible kingdom, and it's saying that the Father's invisible, that no man has seen. The thing is we got to learn to see the Father, but you say He's invisible. If there's something that's invisible, it wouldn't infatuate you, or you wouldn't have any way of really understanding it, because it's invisible. If there was five invisible men that just walked down right through the course here and walked out, you would have never known it, nor never seen it until maybe you saw the door open or maybe heard the floor squeak as they walked by. But they're invisible to you. And see, people don't understand how to comprehend or understand something that's invisible. But this is when you start coming into the mind of God and the revelation of the Lord, you start perceiving and seeing and how to understand and comprehend what is invisible. Is God invisible to the sons of God? Or is He just invisible to the wise and the prudent, or the people of this world? So there's many things that we have to take into consideration as we start trying to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. We got to learn how to see God. We got to learn how to hear God. We got to learn how to walk with God. And you say, do you walk with God, Brother Ron? I say, I do everything in my ability to be led by the Spirit of God and walk in the Spirit of God. But it's a training, like I say. It's a training to learn to walk. So when you think of yourself and your mind and your understanding and your indoctrination. You know, not everybody's fortunate to seek after God at a young age. They get a lot of other infiltration of a lot of their education, a lot of their learning, and a lot of things. And they get this infiltration of their thoughts, and they think, well, this is what I think God is. Well, I think God is this, and I think God is that. Well, America has come, and they think through their ideology. They have an idea that, well, God loves the homosexual. They got an idea that God's going to bring the drunkards into the kingdom with them. They've got an idea that He's going to do all this because He's the Spirit of love. You understand that? But let me ask you a question. Would you call it the Spirit of love to bring somebody in to kill me or to rob from me or to steal from me? Would you call that you love me? So why would my Heavenly Father bring murderers and those kind of things into his kingdom? And you say, well, Brother Rob, don't you believe that murderers and drunkards and them could be born again and be saved? Oh, I most definitely do. Amen. They can get born again and get saved. But when they continue on in their lifestyle, it's just to be made known or made manifest. The Bible says that they are not of you, or they were never born again. Amen. So let's talk about a few things. And the things, brothers and sisters, we might say, well, these are things that we understand and know. But you know, we have to sometimes, again, as the Bible said, leave the 99. But we have to go into these things, stir up these things, and you should be well-schooled and skilled in these things to help other people learn what we say are the simplistic things of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read first in John 3, very common passage of scriptures, and then we're going to expound on that a little bit, and there's some other places I may desire to go if the Lord will work with us. But in John 3, the Gospel of John, third chapter, we're going to go to the first verse, and it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, could we say that the Bible is establishing a truth right here? That a man must be born again. I remember my wife raising up Catholic, and you know, and I raised up a heathen. I was blessed enough to go to some church camps and stuff as a child and different things, but I learned about being born again. I learned the need of being born again. I had some experiences as a young child, even though we'd go off and I was looking at the reason to go off these camps and play and swim and ride trains and ride horses and all the frolics, these things that did entice me. But while I was there at these camps, it was mandatory. We got up in the morning after breakfast. We went to a church. They had different ministers and youth ministers come in and preach the gospel. And then we had an evening time service. I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I remember being convicted and things and wanting to know the Lord and made attempts and went through the motions, we might say. They even gave me certificates at some of these camps that I was born again. You know, I went through the right, so to speak, realms that they would have said. And I believe it a little bit differently than that, but I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for those learning years. But I remember as the Lord started drawing me by His Spirit as I got older and started seeing a lot of death around me and started seeing people that I loved and that were dear burying these people. And I'd hear these preachers talking about damnation, talking about hell, talking about these things, and it was apparent. I was looking at it. I'm thinking, well, you know, when you're burying your best friend that's your age or your brother and different things, you start thinking, well, when is my day? You know, and I wanted to know that there was some preparations or something that I'd done, all that I knew to do, to know that I was born again or have God's Spirit in me. I wanted to know this thing. As I said, this young man is saying basically the same thing. That's a wonderful place for someone to come. They want to know that that's right. This world's temporal. The Bible said you're here for a moment, you know, and then you're gone. And you know, the thing is this whole place and the whole plan of this place is for preparation of eternal life in Christ Jesus. Amen. But we're living in a world that has many doors and many avenues. And Jesus said that I am the door, the way, the truth, and the life, and no man shall enter in except by Him. And this has to be established. This is the Bible. There is no other way. Buddha won't get you there. Allah won't get you there. The Muslim way isn't going to be sufficient. There's only one way. Jesus says in the Old Testament that there is no other besides me. He is God. He's our Lord. He's our salvation. He's everything, brothers and sisters. There's nothing else more that you would need. It's Jesus and Him alone. Amen. And you say, well, I believe in the Father also, Brother Rob. And I believe in the Son. And I believe in the Holy Ghost. I say, yea, so do I. Amen. But the thing is we got to learn to understand this. As I said, my wife's upbringing and many of the family members of Devin are Catholic. His grandmother, Irene's sister, just passed away here a little over a year or so ago, and she was a Catholic woman. Amen. The thing is I'm not against the Catholic people. I want you to understand that. But the thing is there's the grace of God, and some people could make it in through those things. But as we've grown in the grace and knowledge of God, we know that there's something a little more required of us than what we might say is what some of the religions are offering. So as my wife, through all of her years of catechism and all of her years of going to Mass and going to all those things, I asked her, I said, have you been born again? And she did not know what born again was. Now I'm thinking that this is what our God, our Lord and our Savior said here to a well-to-do ruler and a man there of that day and hour. He said that you must be born again to inherit the kingdom of God. And with all of her religion and all of her studies and all of her certifications that come through Catholicism or the Catholic Church, and did not know how to answer a question if she'd been born again. And that troubles me, those kind of things. But again, God's grace can be sufficient. Amen. And there's people that don't know, possibly, and God could grant mercy and show mercy unto them. Sin isn't imputed, the Bible says, lest there be a knowledge of it. So I'm not going to put every Catholic in this because of the condition of my wife into eternal damnation. But I say we want to know that we know. We want to know that we've got the Spirit of God. We want to know that we've been born again. Amen. As we find here, we got to see as we go to this Bible and go to this Word, we got to have an absolute. Let me read on just a little bit more, and I believe I can make to verse 3 there. Let me read it again. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not at that, I said unto thee, you must be born again. Now, the thing is, we find the Lord Jesus saying this 3 times right here in a short order of time. So we can't neglect the fact that we need to come to an understanding. I don't care if you're a Catholic, a Baptist, a Methodist, a Church of God, salvation. I don't care what you are. You got to realize here that we're talking about the Bible. And the Lord speaking in the Word says that you must be born again. Do we all have this established, right? That should be something that we could understand. Now he's speaking about being born of the flesh. He's talking about being born of the water and born of the Spirit here now. Now we got to start understanding these things. The thing is that we talk about, and we'll maybe turn over to some scriptures, some different things, but we talk about an inner man and an outer man. We talk about you're born of the flesh. You see, this flesh man was born after the flesh with a sentence of death, because that's the appointed unto all men to die because of the fall of the Adamic nature of Adam. I know many of us, we could go into the stories and understand the fall of humanity, or we could find where Eve was deceived there in the garden and took those things, and we've turned it into little fairy tale teachings about, you know, taking an apple out of a tree and a little snake, and they got all these little things they teach children, and that's okay, but it goes much, much more than that and goes on beyond that. There's a couple passages of scriptures that the Lord put on my heart, and we're going to do a little bit of reading here. Let's go over to the book of Romans right now. I didn't really make a note here of exactly how the Lord was going to direct me through this, but let's look at this 5th chapter of Romans, and let's go down to about the 12th verse. Amen. There's many scriptures that they try to teach people to understand, you know, say, I'm a good person. I'm not a bad person. You know, I've never stole, I've never cheated, I've never lied, I've never done this and that. That's not what makes us into the kingdom, by being good people. Amen. What makes us and brings us into the kingdom is by a good God. Amen. Amen. But we have to understand some things. And if we don't think we need a Savior because we've never done nothing wrong, this is another thing that we need to learn to comprehend and understand. Let's read here just a little bit. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as therefore, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound unto many. And not as it was one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they will receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now, I can understand how that could sound somewhat complicated in reading of that. You know, and it's really not complicated, but what is being said here is that when you were born and took your first breath, you were born after the Adamic nature of man and after the fall of man. And it was appointed unto men once to die, according to the scriptures and the word of God. So in your first birth, you have no hope of eternal life. In your first birth, you have no guarantees of no hope. And it's appointed unto you to corruption and death. But then, and death came in by the fall of one man, speaking of this transgression and things that took place there, and Eve partook, and Adam, because of the love he had for his wife, partook, for he could do it, showing this thing of the Lord Jesus, partook of those things that you can have forgiveness of sin. Jesus came sinless into this world without sin, but he came and he took on your sin that you could have life and life more abundant, the free gift through Christ. And all that said there is that we see that you had no choice to be born into this world as a sinner. But then yet by him coming, he took the handwriting of offense, or took the penalty of death for you, that you would not have to die. Now what falls in with this is when we start speaking about, well, one sin came by this one, the first man, Adam. Sin was taken out by the second man, Adam. And we start trying to understand, well, there's nothing I need to do then. You know, it looks like it's all been taken care of. But the Bible says that we must apply or have faith. Amen? You must have faith in what Jesus done for you. And then one would question, well, how do I get this faith, and what is faith? Well, the Bible teaches us that faith comes by hearing of the Word of God. So we're speaking the Word of God tonight. And in speaking of the Word, there's something that could take place in your spirit and says, I've received this Word. I hear this Word. I desire this Word. This is what I want. You see, a young man could not have made a decision on his own to leave his mother and to leave his father, to leave his sisters, and to travel some 2,500 miles away from home unless there was some supernatural something pulling or tugging upon his heart. Something's happened, so we say that the Bible says that no man comes to the Father lest the Spirit draw. Amen? So the thing is evidently we would say that the Spirit is doing his part. Could you agree with that? And the Spirit must be drawing. So if the Spirit be drawing, then the thing is that God's going to meet the faith. Amen. And the believing, saying, I don't know what's in the Carolinas, but there's got to be something there. Just as I did the same thing and went across to a place, Georgia. And I said, there's something in my spirit that's desiring and wanting more. And I didn't understand it. And when I got it, when I first came to it, I thought, well, this, I'm not sure if this is really what I wanted, but the Lord knew what I needed. Amen. And the thing is just as this little brother, as this other little brother that just comes here from Georgia, they could come in and say, well, I'm not sure this is what I want. This is a sellout. This is a sacrifice. You know, this is a denial of life. Other kids are out frolicking and doing these kind of things. And these people here seem to be about the Father's business, trying to do something that's under the Lord, something in the kingdom. But you know, we've tapped into something and found something here, haven't we? We found life, abundant life. You see, I've tried the ways of the world. I've tried the pleasures of this world. I've tried the prestige of this world and seeking after the things of this world, and it brought sadness. It brought despair. I know too many multimillionaires or people that are worth hundreds upon thousands of dollars that don't have what I've got. They don't have peace. They don't have joy. They don't have happiness. Amen. I shared with you the story of a man who was the father of a friend of mine who used to invite me and take me to these church camps that passed away last week. You know, but there was something that I saw in that household. I saw something in their home that I didn't get to see in my own home. I never heard my daddy say to my mother, I love you. I never heard him say that to me as a son. That's something that needs to be said by husbands and wives. It's something that they should hear on a continuous basis, on a daily basis. But see, I never heard those things. But when I went to that man's house and he was a Christian, I heard those things coming out of their mouth. I heard those things when he'd go out the door, he'd say, "Honey, I'm off to work. I love you." When he'd come home, he would say that and say those things. You see, I never witnessed those things or saw those things. You say, well, what was the difference there? The man had the spirit of love in his heart. He was born again. He was a born again man. And he loved the Lord. You see, and a lot of times, brethren, as people are trying to go through the motions, they're trying to have marriages, they're trying to have families, trying to raise children, and they do it without Jesus. And when you do it without him, there's going to be an infiltration of a worldly mind. You say, what is a worldly mind? I don't understand that. What is a worldly mind? Well, the thing is the Bible teaches us, it says, to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind is that? It's a mind that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It's a mind that teaches us to love. It's a mind that teaches us about the things of God. And this is the mind we have to have. But what is the world mind? Has this worldly mind, the mind of Satan, has it climbed up into the churches of America in our day and hour? We know it has. You know, I watched a little clip today that was sent to me. And you know, and there's, I guess, you know, might sound irreverent, you know, when you're speaking or calling other ministries and things by name and stuff. But the thing is, these things have to be exposed because they've gone into darkness and they've gone where they're bringing and leading people into eternal damnation. But I've saw several excerpts of interviews with Joel Osteen where he said that most definitely a homosexual will make it into the kingdom of God. I heard the questions asked directly and heard him answer as such. And you think, well, Brother Rob, your problem is you just have a hate for homosexuals. No, I hate sin, brothers and sisters, because sin kills people, destroys people, and puts people into hell. And what I hate is not so much the offense of the sin. I hate the more so of the offense of people saying it's okay and it's justifiable to live this kind of lifestyle and make it into the kingdom of God. You know, the thing is if a man wants to be a homosexual and to be a queer, whatever you want to say, and he wants to live that way, that's that man's business. But I have enough love for that man to say, well, sir, you have a sovereignty to live or do whatever you want to do, but that lifestyle will put you in hell. I say the same thing to the drunk. I say the same thing to the liar and the whoremongers. Got to say the same thing. So, you know, it's not that you despise one over another, but when they start ordaining these people and telling them that they're okay, then there's a real complication and a real problem. The Bible said it's a straight and narrow way. It says that the righteous scarcely make it. You realize that? And the thing is we got to have the fear of God. The fear of the Lord, brothers and sisters, will start opening up doors of wisdom and understanding to you. And we must have a fear of the Lord. Should we walk in such a fear that we're walking around scared to death all the time that he's going to take and cast us into hell? No, we need to have the fear and the respect and the honor of God that if we don't serve him at his word, we do know that he can take our soul and take our life. He said, don't fear the one that could kill you or those things, but he said, fear the one that could take your life and your soul. Amen. So we need to have a reverent fear of God. See, when we have a fear of the Lord, isn't that we're walking around with this, you know, just scared to be that he's going to throw us into hell. He loved us so much that he gave his life for you that you would not perish. That's what he done. He loved you that much that he gave his life and took that brutal beating on the cross of Calvary that you could have life. And this is his desire for you to have life and life more abundant. But it's his desire for you to learn his ways and to submit and learn his doctrines and his teachings that you could take and learn the ways that are pleasing unto him. Amen. So as the young man comes through and I was speaking to him, I said, well, if I was going to teach you to fly, it might take a little bit of time. There's so much to learn about, so many things to learn what's pleasing unto God. You know, and people have questions. When young people come here and says, well, what would that matter or why? They don't understand things. You know, one might come here and say, well, I don't see nothing with stripping off. I don't see nothing wrong with running around in my shorts or in my no shirt and those kind of things. But see, they're innocent. It doesn't make them bad people. They're good people and they may even love God. But they just don't understand. But see, my obligation is to teach people the ways that are pleasing unto God. Amen. I had a man ask the question the other day. He said, if God doesn't let a woman run around bare-breasted or with no clothing on, he said, why would it be permissible for a man? What is the difference? Can anybody explain to me what the difference is? You say, well, the woman, you know, is built a little different than the man. What's the difference? You know, I'd see men, some men got a big old flopping thing hanging down over their belt. You know, so the thing is, you know, if a woman's hanging over because of the way she's built a little bit different, does that mean she could bear that? And I'm just talking, I mean, and I understand questions like that. What is the difference? There is no difference. There is no difference. It's just in your mind and your culture and of the people. Because I could take you over into other countries where these women in these tribes, there's some of them that it's a sin for them to show their ankles. And they wear these long dresses all the way down their feet. And if they showed your ankles to you, they would, you know, it would be wrong for them. But they walk around with no top on. You say, what's wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with that? You see, the thing is we have to understand cultures and different things. And you say, well, you know, we're in a day and hour that it doesn't matter. Well, let me tell you this, do we need to have the fear of God? Because everything is being accepted. And everything is saying this is okay, there's nothing wrong with this. Then what do we have preachers for? If everything's okay, why do we have need preachers? If it's permissible for you to live any way you want, dress any way you want, talk any way you want, then what do you need a preacher for? What do you need to be taught? The Bible said to come out of the world and be a separate people. What does that mean? How do I come out of this world? Aren't we in this world right now? Here I am, I'm in the same building with you, I'm in this world, you might say. But then yet, the Bible said worlds without end. See, these are things we have to learn to understand. What is a world? Do I live in the same world of the people in this world? We might walk on the same dust of this earth and the same planet, but I'm in a different world. I'm in a totally different world than the people of this world. There's people that are walking in chaos. There's people that are walking in hate. People walking in bitterness. There's people that could be in the same building at the same time. And one's just tore up in their mind and their heart and their thoughts. They're just uneasy. They don't have no rest. And another person's sitting there in a perfect world of peace and rest. Where does this come from? It comes from heaven. Do you have peace that surpasses all of the world's understanding? This is what we must have. We need to have peace. We need to have peace in our heart, peace in our mind. But where do we get this at? It comes from God. But we find that there's troubles at every side and every hand. We find families being destroyed and pulling apart. We find failures of societies and governments. We find things that used to work in times past failing and falling away because of the demoralization of a culture and a people and of the church. Preachers used to rebuke and reprove and exhort, but now they just turned into, as the Bible said in the end time, these preachers will just become nothing but hirelings. It's just a job. You know, they're on a payroll, it's a job, you get money, and this and that, and hey, come to church, you know, God loves you, praise God, put your name down in the book. It don't work that way. It goes way beyond that. It goes way beyond that. We have to be born again. We go back to what the Lord Jesus said, that a man must be born again. Y'all love the Lord? Ephesians 3, let's go to verse 8 and read down to about 16 maybe. It says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent now unto principalities and powers and heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory to the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, worlds without end. Amen. Now, you remember I spoke there a minute ago about worlds without end. Amen. It's a world without end. So we got to learn to find out what world are we living, what world are we dwelling in. But as we look there back at verse 16, he talked about this being strengthened with the might by his spirit in the inner man. Now, when we start thinking about an inner man and an outer man, we start thinking about this. A minute ago, I was speaking about an invisible God. And then I speak about one that's visible. Jesus Christ came and brought the invisible God into a comprehension that we could see and comprehend God. Amen. The Father. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. So you're telling me that Jesus and the Father are one and the same? And you say, well, the Bible says that Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of the Father. But the Father's invisible. And the Bible teaches us that the Father dwelled within Jesus. And it said the same Spirit that dwelled within Jesus Christ shall dwell in us. Now, we're talking about being born again now, brethren. So the thing is you say the same Spirit that dwelled within Jesus, and Jesus had the Spirit of the Father. Now we have the Spirit of the Father living and dwelling within us. Now the thing is, the Bible says Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they'll say, well, I've got the Holy Ghost living in me. Well, the Holy Ghost is God. Amen. And we say one God, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. So what we're doing is now we're reading here in the Scriptures, and it talks about your inner man. So you have an outer man and an inner man. The Bible says that you have a flesh and you have a spirit. So you have a body, soul, and a spirit according to the Bible and what the Bible teaches us. So you got to learn to understand body, soul, and spirit. Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Now, you say, well, I don't think that's necessary for that for a man to be born again. I said, I could take you over in the passage of Scriptures, Brother Rob, over in where they went to the Cornelius' place. And they were unbelievers came out, these Gentiles and things, and they prayed, and the Spirit of God came and fell upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. I say, yea and amen. But you know, the thing is I'm called to perfect the saints of God. I'm called to bring them to an understanding of things that we could just not believe in some miraculous event. And that's what we need to believe, but we need to start understanding from when we read our Bibles that we could comprehend. That you are made up of an inner and an outer man. Your outer man thinks after the world. Your outer man is corruptible to the flesh. Your outer man is appointed unto judgment and damnation. Your outer man will perish and go back to the dust. The inner man is eternal in the heavens, born of God, sealed in by the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's eternal. It lives forever. It cannot die. So when we talk about the Scriptures, when it said that you become a new creature for Christ Jesus, old things passed away. What is the old thing? What is the new creature? These are things that we have to learn to start understanding. And then we have to learn that the problem or the enemy isn't some invisible force out here that we're thinking. He comes through the way of our thought life. We've got to learn this. We've got to learn to establish our thoughts. We've got to learn to cast down. The Bible said, cast down vain imaginations. Things that would exalt itself before God. Amen. Now, as one of the last parts of the passage of Scripture says, we're learning to comprehend the heights, depths, widths, and lengths of God's Word. Well, what are the heights, depths? What are the widths and lengths? What are these? It's starting to understand these things of body, soul, and spirit. First, second, and third heaven. Natural, physical, and spiritual. These are things that we need to learn. Because you have a mind that's relative to the world. And you got to learn to deny that mind. You got to learn to deny yourself. You got to learn not to make decisions on what you want to do. If you're always taking care of your mind and your thoughts and doing what's pleasing to you, you'll perish and go to hell. But you learn to deny that man. And you say, here I am, Lord God, use me. Here I am, Lord God, I'm at your service. Here I am, Lord God. And he raises up young people as this. Puts them separated from his families and things like this. The Bible goes on to teach us. I'll read it to you for you can understand why these kind of things happen. And gives strength, amen. This young man loves his mother and father, so don't think that I'm reading these things because there's a problem there. This is his family. He's choosing to follow and to seek after God. But let me help you with some understanding. Let's turn our Bibles over to the book of Matthew for a moment. Let's go down to about verse 32. It says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Let me say something on that before we go any farther. You know, a lot of times when people are learning about salvation, be born again, there is scriptures in the Bible. I could take you over to Romans 9 and everyone's, and it talks about confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. Amen. And right here, the Lord's saying, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also to my Father which is in heaven. We need to learn to have a testimony. We need to learn how to have a confession of God. We need not be ashamed of the name of the Lord. He said if you're ashamed of Him, that He would be ashamed of you. If we don't confess Him, He won't confess us to the Father. And what we've got to remember, He's the mediator between God and man. And we need Him to take us before the Heavenly Father. Amen. That we could have life and life more abundantly. Amen. So the thing is, these are some simple things that we need to understand. Let's go on to verse 33. It says, but whoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Now those again are things that are simple, but sometimes what happens is people, they deny God. They deny God. They get out here amongst the worldly people and they feel like, and they just deny the Lord. And they'll just act like them and live like them. I'm not going to live like the people of this world. I'm not going to talk like them. I'm not going to look like them. I'm not going to dress like them. The Bible teaches us that we're peculiar people. We're not supposed to look like the world. And when you go to a church and they don't have any convictions of any kind of standards, they let you dress the way you want, do the way you want, do anything you want. You see, that church and the pastor of that church is on their way to hell. And I can show you this in the Bible. You see, we're peculiar. We're different. We're not like the world. It said to come out of it, be separate. And when your churches are allowing the worldly music, they're allowing the worldly dress, when they allow men with long hair on their platforms, the preacher needs to get born again. The Bible said it's a shame for a man to have long hair. You understand that? So I teach men they have to keep their hair cut. And you say, well, Jesus had long hair, and he came in the image of sin, the Bible said. He came after that, but when he resurrected, he didn't. And I could take you and show you Joseph when he was in there showing this allegory of the Lord Jesus Christ. They took him in and cleaned him up and shaved him when he came forth and he come out clean shaven and said, they cleaned him up. And when the Lord Jesus came and walked among them after his resurrection, he walked among some of his people and they did not know until he spoke and their hearts burned within them. They didn't recognize him. You understand that? You say, well, I don't mean he got a haircut. Well, it's all right. You can look at it any way that you want. I don't think that glorified image needed an haircut. Let's see. Let's go back and read verse 33 one more time. We're going to go on down. It says, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. I would say I don't want to deny the Lord, huh? Amen. I want to follow him. I want to learn. I want to grow in the grace of knowledge. Amen. Verse 34. Now listen to this. This is to help us to understand God. Because people have troubles with this right here. It says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Now this is the Lord Jesus speaking. It says, for I come to set a man at variance against his father and daughter against the mother and daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You know, mothers, if they could learn to love the Lord as much as they do their children and grandchildren, man, they could go somewhere with God and God will fill them with more love than they've ever had and make them better parents and better mothers and better fathers. And you say, you know, here's the Lord saying that, you know, he came to put me against my dad and against my mother and all these things. You see, brothers and sisters, he's desiring your life and your heart. He's desiring you to serve and walk in fellowship with him. And when you do that, he'll add them to you. You try to do it your way, you'll lose them. And you'll be nothing but in the way and keep things muddled up all the time. But when you just absolutely say, okay, Lord, I realize that you come to put me and separate me from my own mother and my own father. And when you realize that, then he can put you back together with such a strength, such an anointing, and such a power. And you could be a soul winner. Amen. But his desire, brothers and sisters, you got to find is different than what we think. Verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Amen. I know it took a little bit of reading here this evening, taking a little bit of time speaking about the things of God. So as we close the service here, and we're going to maybe speak about just some final thoughts, there's some things we've got to learn to understand. We've got to learn to understand dimensions of a body, soul, and spirit, a Father, Word, and a Holy Ghost. When we start learning these things, then we'll start understanding why sometimes, you know, the doctors would say to you that they would talk about schizophrenia or being bipolar or those kind of things. They say, well, you know, you got two personalities, this and that. Well, we're not talking about what doctors say. We're talking about what the Bible says. When you're born of God or when you are born into this world, there is a inner spirit. God did not even create hell for man. But this inner spirit of yours is something that is made eternal. And this could be disputed, I know. But it's something that's made eternal. So are you seeking eternal life? No, you're seeking destiny. He said predestine you. The destiny of where that eternal spirit will dwell. Because see, the Bible talks about the hell and death being cast into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire has no end to it. It's never quenched. You understand that? It never goes out. And these ones that will be in eternal damnation, God didn't desire for no man to go into that place. But what happened is they yielded their members. The Bible said, whoever you yield your members to is talking about your life. Talking about this fleshly man of you, whoever you give it to, that is who you become one with. Now the thing is if you yield your members over to the lust of this world, the pride of this life, then you are of your father the devil is what the Bible said. But you, when you yield your members over to the Lord Jesus Christ and you give them over to him, then you become one with the Lord Jesus Christ. You become one with him. And when you are seeking eternal life, there's only one place to find it, and that's in Jesus. It said predestined in Jesus Christ. Amen. There is no other way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other door. He said, I am the door. There's no other way to enter into the kingdom of God. You can't enter in through your study of your intellect. You can't enter in through some church. You know, maybe mama, daddy, grandpa, or whatever, maybe Catholic. You can't enter in through the Catholic door. You can't enter in through the Pentecostal door. You can't enter in through the Baptist door. The only one door that you can make it in through is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, no other way. You might hear about him in the Catholic Church and find that he granted you the Spirit of Life. Amen. You might have heard about him in a Pentecostal church, wherever, but he is the only way. So we remove ourselves from that. And we don't call ourselves a denomination, or we don't call ourselves this. We call ourselves the sons of God. Amen. The Bible said, beloved, now ye are the sons of God. Why are you a son of God? Because he granted his spirit to you. And the Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So we've got to learn to be what it means to be led. The Bible said to enter into the kingdom, you have to be like a little child. Amen. So you don't try to reason your way or figure it out. You say, Lord God, help me. I need you. I need your spirit. Fill me with your spirit. Grant life unto me. Save my soul. Amen. And he'll meet you and reach down and honor your prayers. Let's stand together. Amen. I appreciate you coming to the house of God and taking adequate time to talk about the simplistic things of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You love the Lord this evening? Amen. Why don't we give Jesus a hand? Amen. Let's give him a hand. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing a song or two, and we'll open the altars for a moment, and then we'll close the service. Amen. Make Brother Devin welcome as a brother. Amen. A friend. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise.
for sinners slain. We'll get Brother John Whitlow to dismiss us. Fall in love with Jesus. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll lead you and direct you and guide you all the way. Amen. All the way where? All the way into the kingdom of the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. Fall in love with Him. He'll help you. Amen. When you don't know the way, He'll show you the way. When you can't see, He'll open your eyes. When you can't hear, He'll open your ears that you can hear and perceive and comprehend and understand the marvelous mysteries of the kingdom. God's a good God. Hallelujah. Are you encouraged tonight? Amen. You ought to be encouraged in the Lord. You ought to be happy in the Lord. Amen. Knowing that God's with you and in you and through you. Amen. That you can't die because you've passed from death unto life. That Satan can't touch you nor kill you because God has sealed you and hid you away in the bosom of His rest. Amen. Through all of eternity. And nothing can touch you and nothing can get to you. Amen. Can you believe that with me? Amen. Because that's the Bible. His word is the truth. Amen. The Bible said, let His word be true and let every man be a liar. Amen. We got to believe what He says in His word. Amen. And when He's taken and empowered you and encloaked you and given you everything that pertaineth unto life, just believe what He says. Amen. Hallelujah. The devil can't kill you. He can't touch you. He can't get near you because the Lord is with you and in you. Hallelujah. That's something to be excited about. Amen. To be a son of God. Brother John, God bless.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.